No way for you to walk over here.
Wait for me to walk over, yeah.
Yeah.
So, let's see, mic on.
Yep, this one's a little more behind the scenes than usual.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Little bit. Just so, hello, everybody. My mouse isn't working.
Did it get unplugged?
I don't know. I'll go deal with it in a second. So, you want to introduce yourself, Charlie?
Yes, I'm Charlie. I'm the Guiding Ohio Learning Coach here at the Mazda Public Library. One walking away and trying to fix current problems is Sean. Everyone should know Sean by now.
Emerging Services and Technologies Librarian.
Yes, if the mic picked that up at all.
I don't think it did.
Yeah, probably not. But once we get the mouse settled, I think we'll be good to start, hopefully.
Yeah, so...
Is there a daisy chain of USBs?
There it is. It was just loose. Yeah, it was just loose.
Probably yanked on it at one point, never realized.
Yeah. Let's see. Yep.
There we go.
All right. So, let's get my mic back on. So, sorry about the delay there. We've been found by Morgan. Yay. So, yes, my name is Sean Walsh, Emerging Services and Technologies Librarian. And normally we have in the studio either our friends Morgan or Allison. Morgan is out. She is part of one of the high school robotics teams. And so she's been doing a lot of stuff with them. And our friend Allison is currently behind the building right now. She is our cross country and track star. And I think her event is happening right now. So I'd like to say a big go Allison go for the... her and the rest of the Madison boys and girls track team. And a shout out to Team Athena, which is the robot team that Morgan is part of. So, all right. So if you've never watched this before, we talk about technology news, but we also take your questions in the chat. We are live on a lot of different platforms, I hope. That's gonna be the funny thing is checking it. Make sure we are live. And yes, it looks like we are live officially. So sorry about that, guys. All right. So if you have any questions, feel free to put it in the chat and we'll answer them at any time. And let's go ahead and get started, Charlie.
Yeah.
You want to lead off with a story?
I can try. Hold on.
All right.
No, I'm not going to start with that one. Why would I start with that? Yeah, easy one.
Okay.
So Meta... In Messenger is now adding 14 free games that you can play over video calls inside Messenger.
Okay.
I don't know why video calls.
Because you want to see the other person when you play against them? I don't know.
It's like iMessage. Like iMessage has those iMessage games. You don't have to be in a video chat for those.
I used to play chess in the Facebook chat. Mm-hmm. And you just had to know certain commands, and you could literally play chess against someone in the Messenger chat.
Yeah, but it seems like
they depreciated that, which is ironic.
Yeah.
Especially they don't have chess.
Oh, probably not. That's probably like one of the games they don't have. It seems like a lot of like actual card games. I see Exploding Kittens as one of them.
Some more modern stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, Spyfall.
Stuff we play here with the teens.
Yeah, occasionally.
Who had board games in the past? Was it Yahoo? Yahoo had a bunch of those built in for a long time. Yahoo had some. AOL was doing some before the end of AOL Instant Messenger.
Yeah, but Words with Friends, which was actually, I think, a Facebook game beforehand.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Eye roll, because, you know.
Yeah. Mini golf.
Why would you need to see the other person for the Words with Friends?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean...
I do like some of those games.
Yeah, like
I
mean, Exploding Kittens is actually kind of fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's all tied into your Meta Messenger.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Meta Messenger.
Yeah.
We're still
getting over the whole Facebook going to Meta sort of thing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, that's interesting. Definitely interesting.
Yeah.
So I figured I'm going to make a nearly permanent segment for us. Oh. Where we talk about ChatGPT and everybody else.
Oh boy, we're talking about AI every second. Yeah,
I think so at this point. So read recently that Walmart, LinkedIn, and a bunch of other places have either integrated the GPT-4 into mm-hmm. their stuff or are starting to write stuff to hook into it. Walmart's GPT would be pretty interesting for, you know, product recommendations, stuff like that. I wouldn't be surprised where Amazon is at with theirs. Google has their competitor called Bard. Mm-hmm. And I had to look up the Microsoft one because I couldn't figure out what the name was because it's not Cortana.
It's
Copilot.
Hmm.
Copilot. Yeah.
I don't know why they just didn't stick with Cortana.
I think they should go back to Cortana. You know, it's a gaming reference, but it didn't, you know, if you didn't know about Halo, you didn't hurt, you know? So yeah, more and more entities are figuring out a way to hook up into some sort of AI. You know, it's kind of funny, Siri and Alexa and a bunch of those, I mean, these are our precursors, you know, and Cortana itself.
Yeah.
And people are like, well, yeah, those failed. No, they were the beginnings. They were the seedlings for this. And, you know, interestingly enough, Italy blocked ChatGPT as a country.
I was like, there's a few countries starting privacy to get into
concerns. We were both reading, and I know there's another tech person on right now. So we were both reading a cool story where someone convinced ChatGPT to generate a Windows 95 installation key, because there's a code
ethics code.
Yeah, built into it. So they figured out how to get past the ethics code, because theoretically ChatGPT should be able to generate a key code for any app, as long as it knows the basic parameters. So yes, if you need to install Windows 95, mm-hmm. you may be able to convince ChatGPT to give you a installation code. That's breaking a whole bunch of rules and whatnot, but
ethics rules
and I think some legal copyright rules. So yeah, it's pretty fascinating.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like ChatGPT is definitely jumping a little bit faster than I was expecting, but I'm not going to worry about that too much
now. So yeah, I think we're going to have a daily conversation about ChatGPT. I mean, there's a bunch of people who are talking about slowing down the research, and I find it fascinating. Mm. It's all people in companies that don't have much connection to this. They're behind. So like Elon and Twitter.
Yep.
And I'm trying to think of some of the other companies that all are saying, whoa, slow down. Every single one of them does not have a dog in this race. Mm-hmm. You know,
I find it fascinating. Been lost on Facebook.
I lost you on Facebook. I see me on Facebook.
Hmm.
We're still here. So,
I mean, clearly we're still here.
Yep. She joined back in on YouTube, but yeah, I can see us running.
But,
so two people are watching us officially.
Yeah, no, that was the one thing I did see.
Ah, we got a question. So, yeah. So what was the one thing? We'll finish up our thought and then we'll jump on the question.
It was along the lines of like Elon and everyone else were like, hey, slow down. We're like, no.
Yeah.
Essentially.
I think the genie's out of the bottle. And some of these tech companies either got to jump in or keep going.
Yeah. Which at this point, just go for it.
Yeah.
Because you could easily just improve on someone else's thing eventually.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Most of this stuff is open. So,
yeah.
So, okay. Morgan's question is, okay, I have a question. What should I look for in a smart TV, or should I buy a non-smart TV and get a Roku?
It's almost hard to find a TV without smart stuff in it anymore.
I think it's pretty rare. I'm not a fan of smart TVs because of limited memory and limited storage space. And so most people's TVs, they keep them around for a while. And so apps get depreciated, and then that app is no longer functional on the TV. You know, I've seen some smart TVs that have literally outlived the apps that are built into them.
Yeah.
Because the companies don't have those apps anymore. They've folded or whatever. So majority of the apps are non-functional.
Yeah.
Or you end up with something like Netflix. Netflix doesn't, you know, came out on the Wii, and that was the coolest thing ever. It was like one of the first.
Yeah.
You know, Netflix.
You had to order the disc and download it. I remember that.
Yeah. But when it came out, it was spectacular. The Wii they can't support the Wii anymore. So anybody who was using the Wii for Netflix can't use it anymore.
Well, because Nintendo dropped support for it years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Netflix still held support for it for a long time.
For a long time, yeah. So that's my thing. I'm not a big fan of the smart TVs themselves. I find that they depreciate too quickly. I am a fan of things like a Roku, which is a kind of an agnostic device. I've noticed now Apple TV is available on a Roku, which is a pretty big coup. I think I mentioned this the last time we were talking. Apple TVs are good. Fire Sticks are good. You know, it's based on where you have your collection at. If you already own a Apple device, then an Apple TV may be for you because you still have access to your other Apple content, you know, iTunes content or whatever. Same thing as if you are a big Amazon user. Fire Stick is the way for you to go because you have all your content locked up there. Google, you know, things like that. I personally use Roku's because I did want to go agnostic, and so I wanted to be able to load different apps from different places. So I'm still a big fan of them. I helped a friend do an install on their house, and when they cut the cord, they still wanted to have broadcast television. And so what we ended up going with is an Amazon solution because Amazon has, I think it's called the Fire Home. I never get the name right. You hook your antenna to it and then it to your network. And then it streams out the broadcast from the antenna to all your Fire Sticks in the house.
Oh, that's cool.
So you mount that. It doesn't matter where it is in the house. Okay. As long as the antenna and it has electricity and connects to your wireless, it can be anywhere. You can even literally have it in your attic. Okay. It sends down out and you know how you've got your channel bars of different like apps or whatever. There's another one that gets added on the Fire Stick listing. Yeah. And it's literally all of your local TV stations.
Oh, that's cool.
Whatever your antenna can pick up, it will then list them and show live. And you can then, it does have a DVR built into it. So you can DVR and schedule recordings from your antenna. So that was a great solution for her because she didn't have content locked up anywhere. So she wasn't losing anything. Yeah. And so we ended up doing, three TVs in her house. And now she has basically broadcast on all of those, plus all of her streamers. And then she ended up really liking some of the offerings from Amazon because they have some pretty good offerings. They've partnered with PBS.
Yeah.
And so those went really well for her.
I'll say, I've been a big Fire Stick person, in, at least in my house, especially with the Amazon.
That's what my mom has,
So
I put that in
I've
for
never,
her.
I've never used a Roku. I have the TV that I bought does have Roku on it, but I barely use it. I just go straight to the stick that I have.
Really, I mean, to me, the Roku is a better solution or something, not the Roku itself, but like a agnostic device or another device than the smart TV. The other thing is, you can take your Roku, Apple TV, you know, Google, what's the thing? What's a Google? I can't remember what it's called
Chromecast.
Now. Chromecast. Thank you.
Yes.
Chromecast, Fire Stick with you where you go places.
Yep.
I found
that to be a really cool travel thing.
Yeah.
You just take the Fire Stick with the power cable, and then most of the time, you can find an open power cable and then the back of a TV, and then you can usually plug it in. Now, some places have their TVs kind of like locked against the wall, and you can't do much about it, but like some of the places that I typically stay, they all have like the small little LGs, so you just plug it in through the back and then plug it into the wall.
My friend travels
for
work.
It's a nice entertainment system.
My friend travels for work, and so he takes his with his with him, so all his channels are there, whatever he needs. When my group of friends would go on vacation, we would take a Roku with us and then literally have everything we needed. We didn't have to worry about if the TV had any kind of stations or whatever. And the cool thing is, with your Fire Stick, the streaming channels follow the Fire Stick. And so you can watch your antenna wherever go.
Oh, okay.
That's pretty cool.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, you know, theoretically, you could watch a local Guardians, Browns, or whatever, living, say you're a snowbird, living in Florida.
Yeah,
and you can watch your locals as long as your TV, as long as your house has power, which I'll talk about later. So Morgan, I hope that answered your question. You know, it was a roundabout answer, but I think my overall feeling is use a separate device. What do you, Charlie? You about the same?
Yeah, I'm about the same.
Yeah.
Even if the TV comes with
most of them come with something built in.
Anymore, You can buy ones with Fire on it. You can buy ones. I don't think Apple TV has integration yet, but
They are. Yeah.
Are they working on it though?
No, they've got some companies have partnered with them. Okay. I can't remember who it is, but yeah, it's built in. But
I know like Samsung typically goes with Google for their stuff. Yeah. There's a bunch of people that went with Fire. There's a bunch of them that went with Roku. Fire. I mean, it just really depends for the Vizio. Okay.
Yeah. It's so slow. And that's the other thing. The processors are so slow in these TVs for the apps.
That's why I skip over using the in TV ones because it's just they just age so poorly. And it just does not.
And I mean, the cost of a TV versus the cost of a streaming device. I mean, I can, you know, $99 streaming device, and it's usually what I need.
40% of the time on Amazon, I can find the 4K version, which has like HDR and everything else. Like the top of the line one.
Yeah.
$20.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And it's so easy to just plug in the TV and turn on.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah. So yeah, we're glad we got your question there. So appreciate that. We always love questions. So feel free to ask us questions at any time. And even after this is aired, if you put a question into the chat, we will see it, and we'll come back and answer you after the fact.
Exactly.
Our friend Margaret watches us after we air a lot of times, and we'll comment and ask questions and things. And so we appreciate that as well. One of our long time viewers, viewers, Morgan and Margaret are longtime viewers. So you want to do another?
Let's see.
Yeah.
Well, this is just upgrading to
upgrade your Android smartwatch. Well, we both wear smartwatches.
Yeah. Well, I have what Samsung one? I don't
you
know
have Samsung one.
Yeah, I have a Samsung one. You have
a Fossil. Yeah. So it's ironic. I'm the older one. I wear a Fossil.
But yes, Google Wear OS 2 is on its way out.
Yeah.
And incoming is Wear OS 3.
Yes.
So this is kind of just talking about how you can
get it. That sounds more like a question.
How you can get
to it. Wear OS 3.
Exactly. Where is it?
Where is it?
Technically, I don't think it's technically out
yet. No, I don't think so.
It's still like a work in progress.
Yeah.
Everything else. But they are saying there's some issues with iOS stuff because it doesn't transfer some of the GPay stuff over.
Yay. Well, I don't use that on my watch. Yeah.
I do, but
do
I
you? Well, do you touch your watch too?
Occasionally. Like the thing is like I don't have it set up to just do that yet because this one's supposed to be an LTE one. I don't have it set up to LTE. I just have it set Bluetooth wise.
Yeah.
So I just typically use my phone for it.
Yeah.
But it'll be nice when I take it to amusement parks and I'll have to take it.
Yeah.
But still, it's
going to cost you a lot more because it's a lot easier to go, oh, look, I just paid for that, you know, instead of like whipping out the card or putting out the cash. Yeah. I mean, that's how the Disney Fast Packs are totally designed to make you spend a bit more money.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, no. So Wear OS is on the way, but it, like I said, it is having some issues with like the pay for things between iOS and things.
Okay. Yeah, my friend does a lot of credit card processing and stuff. He works for a company and designs point of sale software. My understanding is a lot of that kind of code is extremely esoteric, even for like Cody nerds like us. It is really far out there kind of stuff, you know, partially because of the security of credit cards and all that, and needing to support European and American standards and standards out of Asia. But yeah, every time he talks about it, he just like, you know, you can see his brain start to melt a little bit, you know, because it's just so messed up. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I always love a new OS. I don't.
Because I know Samsung will eventually tell me, "Hey, you have this update to do."
Yeah,
and I'll just be like, "Cool," and then I'll have no clue how to use Wear OS 3.
Yeah, Wear OS 3. Again. I still think it's a question.
I know it's such a weird name. It's just like Wear, because it's meant to be like you wear it, but no, it sounds like where is it? Where is the OS? Tell me, please.
Forgot to post that we are live on my own Facebook page. Shame on me. All right.
Also, did you hear that vinyl finally overtook CDs in sales?
I saw that, and I'm fascinated.
Yeah, the first time since 1987.
I was around in 87. Some of our viewers are definitely around from 87 because I know some of them. So, wow.
Yeah. I mean, I have a friend that's a record head.
Yeah.
Like, terrible.
You work with a record head.
Yeah.
He's sitting next to you.
Well, like, my friend's, like, crazy.
I'm not that bad. Yeah. I'm not bad.
He has, like, bins full of, like, records and things.
One of my previous directors was a very, very, very prolific collector. And I can remember going into his house and seeing, he built this custom thing, but it was about the size of a milk crate.
Yeah.
This custom wall of vinyl.
Oh, yeah.
And when I say wall of vinyl, it was probably 40 feet long and 10 feet high.
Wow.
And being a librarian, because he's a librarian, you know, he had, I mean, everything was in a music classification order. So there is a, for my library friends out there, you know what I'm talking about. The music classification, he had all of his records classified and tagged like that. Okay, so they had barcodes and then they had labels. He used an internal, I can't think of what, it was a, it's a system for keeping track of your records, but he had extra barcode stickers. So we have that stuff laying around. And it was really fascinating. Though he was a huge fan of jazz. And so, you know, there was a smattering of other genres, but then like jazz was like this, was like giant, this giant segment.
Section,
yeah. And it was fascinating because he had jazz records like, you know, stuff that I didn't even know it existed from people I knew. Like these really deep cuts and these imprints, imports from other places. Yeah. So it is fascinating that the vinyl, I mean, as a person who likes music and is into music, you dump a lot of money into your equipment because it does matter if you have the gold cables when it's analog. But I do feel like vinyl has a warmer, richer sound, and I don't want to sound snobby like it. You know, it's like, I just feel like it's got a better sound. I do, you know? But fascinating. I will say I'm not a big fan of the picture discs. Those are the big things right now, is the picture discs, which look like CDs, basically, just vinyl CDs. I feel like the material is different.
Yeah.
And again, I don't want to sound like a snob, but it sounds a little different when it's on the record player. I also noticed it messes with my the needle on the record a little bit, record player a little bit differently.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, I got a little more wear and tear out of the picture disc for some reason. And maybe it's just me. Maybe someone will comment that's also a vinyl person and tell me I'm wrong or whatever, and I'm good with that. But I just feel like I burn through, you know, needles and stuff a lot quicker that way. So,
I mean, streaming still overtakes. Well, streaming, all of them.
Yeah.
But like physical is still at like an 11%.
Yeah, and so that may be crazy. The thing. It's kind of ironic. Libraries got out of doing vinyl. I can remember the big purge where most of the libraries around me, weeded the vinyl, and it was the book sale. And I can remember just going through and just like, I'm going to have all of this stuff. And I purchased for like pennies, literally pennies, like album after album after album, and original, you know, and I'm not talking like big old stacks of classical. I'm talking about like a well-loved, but still very good, entire collection of everything that was awesome in the 80s.
Yeah.
I think I have a vinyl of, and some very iconic albums, you know, Thriller and stuff like that. I think I got the White Album, the Beatles White Album, and Abbey Road and a couple other things, all from a library, and they were actually untouched.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, in the same vein, minimalist phones are on the rise. So they're like also calling them dumb phones.
Like little to nothing going on with them? Or
like, you remember the Nokia bricks?
Yeah.
And flips? Oh,
we're talking about those.
Yeah. Gen Z is abandoning smartphones in droves for concerns about screen time and overstimulation and things like that, and mental health. So it's funny. So not your generation, but the generations coming after you.
Yep.
Is going back to flip phones, and they're interested in Blackberries.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I can remember blackberries. I can remember Palm Pilots and all that. Well, I remember, you know.
Didn't we have a story that BlackBerry was officially dead?
Yeah, BlackBerry is officially dead.
Yeah. So
literally maybe, they're interested in the BlackBerry again.
BlackBerry comes back in crazy rain.
Yeah, someone brings them back. I guess Nokia still makes the brick Nokia phone, the indestructible phone. I didn't realize they still made it.
I think in certain countries.
Certain countries, though. They're trying to import them into the U.S. So the Nokia indestructible, because I had one of those as a work phone. It was indestructible because we pushed it hard. Gen Z, huge uptick in what they're calling dumb phones.
Yeah.
I like the term minimalist phones personally because
it sounds a little bit
they still
better.
Text and they still do other things, you know. They make texting a little easier. They're trying to go more a little more keyboardy and less like click, click, click. Okay, that's capital A, click, 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 how I texted originally.
Yeah.
Some of you out there listening have suffered through the click, 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 I got the letter.
So they're
click,
looking
click, click,
like
I got the letter.
They're almost like looking for like the sliders with the
big sliders are big. Sliders are big. Yeah. And like I said, that's why they're interested in the BlackBerry, because it had a full size keyboard.
Yeah.
Of physical keys.
Oh yeah.
I will say that. Loved the
My grandpa loved
the touch of one of those physical keys. I liked that. It wasn't quite clicky keyboard fun, but it was close.
Instead of the mushy kind of rubber buttons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can feel that.
Yeah. And recently I unfortunately damaged my phone, so I'm on a replacement phone. I'm a big fan of replacement plans. I found it really annoying because I had a cracked screen and I kept running my finger over top of the crack and I could feel it. And when I needed to click or tap, it was always on the crack spot of the phone. It was driving me nuts. Big props to the company that I use. I'm not going to say their name, but literally...
The text phone language.
The text phone language, yep. But props to my phone. I put in the request for the replacement and I had it the next day.
Oh, that's good.
What's taking me so long is transferring my entire life from one phone to another. first world problem, trust me. First world problem.
Oh, yeah.
But still, annoying. Actually, it's really hard because I use a lot of two-factor authentication stuff. Well, it all lives on the old phone and I have to transfer it. And I'm having trouble transferring some of it. Yep. Old school text language is going to be fun seeing that come back. We're going to be elite. That's a deep cut old joke. All right. What else you got there?
We've talked about the Microsoft Blizzard acquisition stuff.
Yeah.
On before,
it's still
right?
in weird zone.
Yeah. But recently, the UK regulators have sided with Microsoft.
Really?
Over it.
Really?
Yes. For the fact that, what was it? I read this like a week or two ago.
Okay.
And now I can't remember half of the information.
All right.
But it was something along the lines of that they showed a model of how many exclusives PlayStation has.
Mm-hmm.
And then compared it to how many Microsoft has.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously the number severely higher on a PlayStation than it is on an Xbox. Because if you look at it, Microsoft opened up most of everything of their games up into, you know, PC.
Yeah, yeah.
And opened it up.
Yeah, they were always had a dual market.
Where PlayStation has always been behind in the dual market sort of stuff. They've recently been getting into the dual market, but with like
very slow. It's not gone well for them.
Well, like The Last of Us recently has not had a great PC port over. It had some huge technical issues.
No, that was horrendous.
Huge technical issues when it started to come
out. Good television show, though.
Yeah.
Although I did, I don't know. Did you know anybody who never played the game and watched the show and was astounded by it? I'm not going to spoil the ending.
There's a lot of people that I know that have like maybe watched playthroughs of the game and watched it, but not many that haven't watched it.
Because, I mean, you know, if you played the game, you knew how the show was going to end.
Yeah.
And you were prepared for it. It's
not
pretty,
a lot of people would,
pretty hardcore ending to the show.
Yeah.
And it was kind of funny to watch the people I knew that weren't gamers. And they turned to me and goes, my one friend goes, did you know that this is how it ends? I'm like, yeah, I played the game.
And then they're like, oh,
I was ready for this. I was prepared. Cause when I finished the game, I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, I had that moment. I'm like, oh wow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm in that same zone as I'm in the group of people who finished Mass Effect and went, ouch. And then they added the other ending. I'm like, okay, I feel better now.
Yeah. But yeah, no. But they sided with
Mass Effect 3, I should say.
Yeah, but they sided with Xbox just for the reason.
I'm surprised because usually over in Europe, they don't want anybody to merge.
Mm-hmm.
But Sony has been. I mean, that was the key to what made the PlayStation 2, aside from being a great console.
Yeah.
What made the PlayStation 2 was the exclusivity of some titles that were just great titles, great games. You know, I mean, Nintendo's always had some stuff, but they're not even in the conversation when it comes to some of this gaming stuff, which is funny because they were out front for so long.
Xbox is also, while this has been going on, been making deals with Nintendo, NVIDIA, because NVIDIA does their streaming service through GeForce Now.
Yeah.
And then they're talking with Nintendo for the next 10 years to release Call of Duty titles back to Nintendo consoles because they have not been on...
No, they have not.
They have not had a Call of Duty title since...
The Wii?
Wii U.
Was there a Wii U
Call of Duty or Call of Duty Ghost...
Was it on the Wii U?
Wii U game. Because
the only one I remember was
Call of Duty.
Was Call of Duty for 3DS and Call of Duty for Wii.
Yeah.
Those.
I remember
those. One of the Call of Duty. I mean, Call of Duty something.
Yeah, but Wii U.
Warzone, maybe.
Wii U, I think, got Black Ops 2 and Ghost.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. Yeah. But those are like the last two Nintendo ones.
I think you're right. Now I still want to. So interesting,
but yeah. So and then obviously, but they're making these deals so that Call of Duty can get out to more people.
Yeah,
where there could be issues down the line if this doesn't go through.
Yeah,
but it would just be as confined to Xbox and PlayStation as it has been, as of recently.
Yeah.
Right. But they're now looking more at the future of the deal on if it would actually get to people or not, because Xbox has also reached out to PlayStation and said, we're going to give you 10 years. The thing that PlayStation is saying, though, is that they're going to sabotage the game on PlayStation consoles.
I don't think about that.
I don't think that...
Hamstring the game? Nah, that wouldn't be in their best interest, because that would be fodder for news so quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because that's the thing. I don't think that they would sabotage.
Because someone would find out 100% and know 100% if they hamstrung the
exactly.
Game. Yeah,
and I don't think that they would do that. But
yeah,
don't know. But you know, if anything, all they have to do is have both of them put stakes into Activision and
Blizzard. Absolutely,
and then boom, there you go.
Do like a Hulu and have a bunch of people all throw their chips in a pot.
Yeah. Exactly. That's what they should do. But the whole fight is Xbox is going to buy Blizzard and then Activision, which is the whole big deal right now. But they did. It was a miscommunication in a data sheet that the UK thing did. They skewed the number for something. I don't know exactly what it was. So they went back, redid the numbers, and like, oh, never mind. It's actually not that bad. I think it was something along the lines of profit margin.
Oh,
yeah. And then they were like, oh, because they did it for like insert so many amount of years.
Yeah.
And now it's not that way anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's a whole other thing currently. Okay. Because that's been going on for almost a year now.
At least a year, yeah. So, so feel free to ask us questions in chat. We'll talk about news stories as we go. We talk about gaming. We talk about vehicles. We talk about all kinds of stuff. So... In fact, I'm going to talk about, drone delivery is, you know, first it was sort of a joke, now it's actually really a reality. So I was following, there's a company called Flyby Robotics, and what they're trying to take over, or at least get a market share of, is DoorDash. So they want to do small drones, they don't have to do big drones, small drones to do your food delivery. $3 surcharge.
Okay.
Which is a lot less than some of the other entities that are charging. Because you get deliveries periodically.
Occasionally.
Yeah. So, so $3. So figure, you know, your smoothies, your salad, sushi, whatever, delivered by drone. But I did a little bit of research and I kind of found this fascinating. So drone delivery. Okay. You know, Amazon and Google and stuff like that are pushing it. So Zipline. Okay, which is a company that's been around for a little while. 500,000 deliveries since 2016. 2016, by the way. 2016. Yeah. Flytrex, which is another company, 21,000 deliveries by 2022. Or no, in 2022. Just 21,000 in 2022. So it's more and more expanding out. You know, these drones will come in, deliver your package. Looks like Morgan's cat is on her laptop, because I know she has a couple of cats. So that's definitely a cat chat. That's funny. We love our cat chats. So I kind of find it fascinating that, you know, I didn't realize the numbers. And I'm looking forward to the whole DoorDash thing. So truth be told, I have had no electricity more than I've had electricity in the last couple of weeks. Where I live was hit pretty hard with many of the storms. And so, yeah, we went many days without electricity. And in some cases, it was really hard to get around. I felt like Pac-Man, and the trees were ghosts. So I go up this way. Nope, can't go up that way. Turn around and go this way. Oh, there's another tree. Gotta go this way. So I was joking with my son that we were doing a maze, because I didn't want him to get upset.
Yeah.
Because, like, why can't we get through? You know, so I told him we were doing a maze. And the one day, I'm glad I grew up in the area where I live, because I knew every side street.
Yeah.
Because I needed to use every side street.
Yeah.
Like, for example, up the street from me, because our road was blocked at both ends at one point, so we couldn't get out, period. There was 4 brand new telephone poles, because 4 telephone poles got taken out.
Mm-hmm.
There's still a lot of damage, and there's some people still without power. But, yeah, so the DoorDash thing would be kind of nice to fly in, not have to worry about driving through the detritus and debris. I am going to jump into another story.
I think the drones get blown away.
The drones will get, well, I'm not going to order DoorDash in the middle of the windstorm. That's not going to happen. So I did want to mention in that same zone, because I'll do 2 stories and then I'll let you.
Yeah.
So where's it at? Duke Energy. So Duke Energy, which is near and dear to my heart because they are out of Pennsylvania, among other places. Duke Energy, to better serve its customers when power outages occur, they're creating a smart self-healing power grid.
I've heard about this.
So, and they're pretty close to having it fully operational. So the problem with power right now is that, you know, what they don't redirect, they don't reroute. There's no smart switches that turn, okay, power's not getting from here to here, we can turn that off and then allow people upstream to get power.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of that in place. And this would be all kinds of smart switches that could maybe reroute power a different direction, knowing where the cut line is. All this technology exists, which is hilarious, because you and I can run a simple Fluke network tester and know where there's a cut line in a network line or a power line or a phone line or whatever. So this has existed forever.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm actually kind of happy about that, because it is a huge investment, but an increase in grid. So while we're not a Duke Energy customers up here, if Duke gets it, because Duke, oddly enough, is Pennsylvania and like North Carolina and quite a different amount of states. If they get this technology, you know, First Energy and some of those other companies are going to be like right on it, you know. And we do need to improve our grid. I will say that, coming from a perspective of an IT person, our grid is woefully under supported, under built.
Oh yeah.
And I think it's really time for us to invest a lot into this. And literally being a person without power because of trees, I could have rerouted some power. It would have been lovely. So just saying out there, First Energy, if you're listening, invest in smart grids. We want you to, please.
Either smart grids or start putting the lines under the ground.
Well, even at that, what was getting some of the things was the trees were uprooting, and so they were pulling up some of the concentration boxes. And then for things you can't put under the ground, we lost a big substation because a tree fell into the substation. Took it out.
Maybe start getting trees farther back
from the substation. I actually noticed that they're doing more and more cutting where they're pulling a lot of trees away from the easements.
Maybe some of the like current already like up ones. Maybe say, oh, I'm gonna go back and maybe trim the trees back a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Maybe.
So Morgan did confirm that was a cat. Yep. We know that it's a cat. Cat talk.
Yes.
So, all right, up on yours. Thank you for letting me do two in a row. Yes,
well, I did two in a row, so it's fine. It works. Let's do, I don't know, this is a simple one. Steam, which is known for their storefront for games and all that kind of stuff, will stop supporting Windows 7, 8, and 8.1 by 2024.
Okay.
So only support for Windows 10 and 11 after 2024 for Steam.
Yeah.
So any gamers out there that use Steam, you got to understand that it will be gone.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and you won't be able to use it anymore.
Won't be able to use it. Mm-hmm. But it's funny, one of my colleagues in our chat had posted a device that she was interacting with that still ran on Windows XP embedded. So XP is still out there. So shout out to XP Embedded. You're still going.
You're still there.
For the longest time, XP Embedded was running all of the Sheets, loyalty kiosks. Every single one of them was, because they donated it to a library I was working with, and we converted them to not self-checks, but like a way to check a book.
Yeah.
Basically to check the status of
the book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like staff members could walk by and see if a book was checked out just readily, just walk up, scan it, and then either shelve it or, you know, deal with it. Yeah.
Deal with it at the back or wherever.
Yeah. This was a big library. Instead of having to take things across the building, that we had these stationed up, they could literally just check the stack. Because people leave stacks and stacks of books, and sometimes you don't know if they're checked out or not.
Yeah.
So in this case, it was a quick way to just check the status of a book. Mm-hmm. It also had other features for patrons. It could act as somewhat of a self-check.
Mm.
So
That'd be cool. Possible PlayStation hand.
I know. We both read this one. I'm a huge PSP fan.
Yeah.
Not as much of a Vita. I didn't get into the Vita.
I still think if they waited for the PSP and the Vita just a little bit longer, it would have been fine today.
Yeah.
Right? But
still an awesome handheld. It was still
great in the time that it came out, though.
That was my first handheld since the original Game Boy. Because I bought after the fact. I didn't have a new one. I bought one several years later at a thrift shop. And that was my first handheld. And I bought a PSP, new PSP. It was my first big like handheld. I'm going to buy this thing. And I loved it. And I still do. I still get it out periodically and play it. Because I wasn't a big fan of the videos. The UMD videos. Whatever. I don't need to carry movies with me. I thought it was a cool idea. But like the games and just the controls and everything, I was a huge fan.
I was going to say, my first handheld was an Advanced. Game Boy Advanced.
Game Boy Advanced, yeah.
Yes, the flippable. Yeah. Well, no, the SP. Game Boy Advance SP.
Oh, those were nice little. Yeah, the
flip open with the back like a flip light.
Phone. They were trying to go on
the flip pocket.
Moto Razr flip phone.
And then
phone.
Eventually DS came out later. But, yeah. You know, still.
Yeah, I have really a DS cool. now too. Yeah.
But yeah, the possibility of it is it's not going to be on its own console, but PlayStation does have a built-in like console connect stream sort of thing.
So it kind of feels like they're trying to target the folks who like the Switch.
Similar.
You know what I mean? So you can put the Switch in the dock, you know, and you can use it, and then you can go around your house and just undock. Because they do that commercial for the Switch where the guy goes, I can't play my game because the kids are doing homework and mounts somewhere else.
Yeah, it's not so. It can be used outside of the house over internet.
Okay.
But they note that the handheld is not meant for cloud streaming, so it would be a peripheral for a PS4 and PS5.
Okay.
So it would be something you can, you know, leave the house and do.
Mm-hmm.
Because like they have the app for it on the phone. So if you own like a PS4 or PS5, you can remote play from wherever you're at, as long as you have a connection to the internet for it.
Okay.
Interesting. I know I use it at home to when I don't want to run updates and things, and I'll just turn it on.
Like remote desktop into your thing.
Essentially,
to run updates.
Yeah. It's essentially just a remote connect to your console.
As an IT guy, we love that. Yeah. So we don't have to walk over there.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, I still have to put the disc in and let it install, but other than that, it just runs and I can
check
it
while eating lunch. Yeah.
So that's something, but it wouldn't just be, you know, again, standalone console or anything. It would just be like a little connection, like a connection tool with some PlayStation buttons.
Interesting. So I don't know how many people saw this. Google came through, and for Google Drive, they put a limit. They said you could not have more than 5 million items in your Google Drive. Okay?
Okay.
And put a hard limit in there. And, like, I have a lot of stuff. I don't have 5 million. It didn't affect me. You know, so I thought, oh, okay, it's a limit, whatever, you know. Yeah. Maybe in 10 years or 15 years, I'm going to butt up against that limit, you know.
And then there was the realization moment.
No, actually, it's kind of funny. A bunch of people got angry because there are people out there whose entire existence has been in there.
Yeah.
And they're prolific creators, artists, musicians, videographers, of these people who create media that need to connect that media. Because you and I do video,
yeah.
You know, and Allison, when she's here, she's our video editor, extreme. I'll do it from the 90s.
She's extreme.
She's going to laugh when she watches this. But that's a lot of content, and you can, you know, easily doing video or audio if you're a musician or whatever, you know, I could easily max out a Google Drive at, you know, 5 million easily. You know, if I want to keep every cut, every take of everything and for archive sakes, cause you know, here we keep all of our bloopers. We don't show them to you, but we do show them to us.
Yes.
And so there's a lot of those bloopers. But in a rare moment, because Google rarely goes back on their decisions. You figure when they kill off something, it's dead. They don't go back.
A bunch of their like early startup projects, you don't know. You see how many of those they kill?
Google Wave.
So quick.
Google Wave. The precursor to YouTube, Google Video.
Mm-hmm.
When Google kills something, there's no remorse. They went back. They said, okay, we're wrong.
Yeah.
We're wrong.
Yeah, because the
have no limit. Go do your thing. We love you. Please leave us alone.
Yeah.
It was fascinating because it's a rare turnabout for Google. But I did find it interesting because, you know, I mean, originally when I watched, you know, I saw news come through, I'm like, okay, I'm going to build up to that in a couple years. And then I really started thinking about it. And I see the people who's complaining. I'm thinking, because we saw our video a different way here. But if we did, I mean, all the video work we've done and all of the takes, all of the audio, all of the files that go with it, we could butt up against that in a year or two.
Oh, yeah.
Without question. You know, we store our video in about 16 terabytes of storage right now. I mean, it's not the whole 16 terabytes. That's the space we keep it in. I'm already looking at the lifespan of that 16 terabytes going, okay, you know, at some point we're going to hit this because it's raw video and stuff. So, let me do another one? Or you want to do the framework?
I mean, I can talk about framework.
Why don't you talk about framework?
I feel like
both of us want to talk about framework.
Yeah, so
Morgan framework. Will love framework. If you're still watching, Morgan, check out framework. You're going to love this.
So you know how people build PCs?
Yes.
Right?
Build your own.
Get all the parts.
Been doing it for years.
Boom, you're done.
Right? I was a computer shopper guy from the beginning.
Whatever you wanted, you dreaded the day you had to buy a laptop because you just knew.
Yeah, you knew you were stuck.
You knew it was gonna be.
Yep.
Eventually, you just toss it again because you.
Yep.
You know, never get to use it again because it's too old.
Exactly. Hey, shout out to Deb K. Just joined in. So hey, and Paige, thank you for joining in.
But imagine a laptop.
All right.
That you can upgrade.
Yeah. Not just memory. Running.
Yeah, not just memory.
Okay.
The entire motherboard with a new CPU.
So just like we would switch out on a regular PC, we're going to switch to the motherboard.
But if you wanted to transfer some stuff over, you could.
Yeah.
Because if the memory still works,
keep the memory.
It's still the same. Keep the memory. It's
not different than how we mod out PCs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Framework.
Graphic card?
Not yet.
Okay.
They're working on that.
All right.
But Framework is a company that is working on to make your laptop an easy upgrade for later. So taking that in consideration, you have a multitude of different open. Also, most of this stuff is open source, by the way.
Well, yeah. It's going to have to be.
Well, yeah. But all of it's open source.
Yeah.
All the boards, all the anything that they're working on, any of their connectors, all open source. You can go on there and look at their PCB outlines and everything else.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're working on making your laptop the next upgradable thing.
And I do like this idea. I'm kind of fascinated by it because, you know, I mean, I've been building PCs my entire life. There's no question about that. Been building, you know, creating PCs. I used to build them for people all the time. That was my side hustle in college. I would make PCs. I was trying to be the next Michael Dell. You know, and if any of my friends watch, you know, a bunch of us used to all like literally work on PCs, like in between classes and build PCs for people. I like this because laptop was that end, like that wall you couldn't get into. You could put in a new drive. We knew hard drive. You could put in memory. Sometimes rare, you could even pop in a processor.
Even sometimes it was possibly you could do memory. Yeah. Not all the time.
Yeah, usually they had like, here's your open memory slot. You either put something in there or you end up, because most of the time it was always, there's one stick in there. And to upgrade, you take the one stick out, you put two sticks in.
Now, see, you know, some laptops now are just one slot. You're screwed with if you want to try to do two sticks. It's one stick only, and that's all you have. So
I like the fact that framework is kind of extensible. I do like that. I am somewhat concerned on, okay, at what point do we get brand names?
Yes. Obviously AMD and Intel are already here.
Well, yeah, processor.
AMD is already there. Well, AMD actually came late. Intel was the first.
That's interesting because usually AMD is the one out the gate.
Yeah, usually. But no, AMD was a little bit slow to catch on to this one.
Interesting.
But they are working on possibly bringing graphics cards, which with the addition of AMD, at some point, their Radeon brand of graphics will be coming as full-size cards, not just the little integrated ones inside the processor.
Yeah.
Which that's another thing. Remember when Dell tried to do the whole plug in your graphics card to the laptop thing?
Anybody else out there remember that?
Yes.
There's a good reason why most of you have no idea what we're talking about.
Exactly.
It failed so bad.
Well, also, AMD Dell also tried doing the, here's a full-on processor within a laptop so you can swap it out.
Yeah.
But then realized that...
The heat
of a full-size, which doesn't work very well.
I did a demo once where I cooked an egg on a P4.
Yep.
With no heat sink. I did overclock it, but I cooked it. I did the demo. I made a little pan out of tinfoil, and I cracked an egg into it and cooked the egg and ate the egg as part of the demo. Yeah, because it was my point of telling you, please, please, please clean your PC.
Yes.
That was literally the reason I did it, and it was shock and awe. That was the whole point of it.
Yeah, so essentially, I mean, the main purchase is the main board.
Yeah.
Which has the processor and then the slots for the RAM, everything else, the storage. But that, you only have to buy the board.
Mm-hmm.
You can purchase the laptop if you want to. You don't have to.
Yeah.
You can put it in a case.
Yeah.
You can 3D print a case.
Yes.
And just use it as a little desktop until you can actually afford the...
I could see libraries using this technology to build real thin card catalogs.
Mm-hmm. But essentially... what they're doing is that you can bring your own, you can go to a Micro Center or a Best Buy and buy laptop memory.
Yeah.
If it's on sale, you can buy it as long as it's compatible.
Put it in there.
Yeah. And there's no restriction to it.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, since they're working on graphics cards and it's not just you buy the chip and it plugs in somewhere.
Yeah, no.
It's hot swappable. More of that.
Yeah. Ooh.
It's hot swappable. So you could, if you really wanted to have a NVIDIA graphics card, and then really jump off and just be like, all right, I feel like doing a Radeon day, swap in a Radeon.
Well, I could also see it
or even like a work or like a test, not a test bench. Well, I guess test bench.
Yeah.
But also like the Quatero
video
cards.
That's what I got in mind right now.
Things like you want to go from gaming to video production.
Yeah, that's what I got my laptop.
You know, or producing 3D models and things, you know, it's something.
But I could
like
also
that.
See that as like, okay, at home, I throw in the heavy gaming card because I'm going to play games.
Yeah.
And
then you go to work.
Traveling at work, I drop in a regular card because I'm not going to be doing gaming.
Yeah, and it has less, and it would be
less power draw and keep my laptop running longer. Yes. See, that's kind of brilliant, actually.
Yeah. So, I mean, the occasional, you have to buy a new, you know, main board with a new processor on it. But that's
literally what you do when you build your own PC.
Right? Yeah. Like occasionally you have to swap out the motherboard and then maybe buy memory.
My case and my peripherals and stuff outlasted my motherboard usually two or three times.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes my memory switched from board to board. graphics card switch from board to board, sound card switch from board to board.
Yeah, but so at some point they'll be adding a new version of the laptop, which is not necessarily gaming oriented completely, but they are pushing it that way.
And I do like that these are also Chromebook compatible. Yep.
Chrome OS,
Windows,
not Mac.
Not yet. Of course Linux.
Yeah.
Like, which, I know it's an Ubuntu flavored laptop.
You can it's kind of like Dell, how they set it up to where you can buy it, you can get Ubuntu.
Yeah.
If you really want to, and it's free. Or you can just bring in your own sort of thing. And that's what Framework is kind of working with.
Yeah.
Which I find kind of interesting. But also the thing with the GPU spot, where you can put the GPU into.
Yeah.
They're also talking about extendable batteries.
That would be
so
nice.
So more battery.
Yeah.
They actually also released a battery to replace the old battery if you wanted more time with the battery.
Yeah.
So, which was kind of cool. But they're talking maybe more expandable storage for later. So, like M.2s and SATA drives things. They're talking about making it all compatible through this little, they call it,
It's like a bus bar on the back.
Yeah, a lot of people call it the butt.
Yeah, it's the back. It's the back end of the thing.
But literally, you take off one butt, put in another.
Yeah,
and then you replace it.
Yeah.
I think they're even talking about like cooling expansion.
Someone used to do
like
that where it had like an interchangeable kind of like back plate. Yeah.
Essentially what Framework is pushing for.
Yeah, it's actually just kind of smart to do that.
So it would be...
Because it's the best place to remove and add and do all
that stuff. Yeah, it would just be hot swapping a graphics card. Yep. And then if you really need the storage later, swap it in with a storage thing or swap it in with an extra cooler or like more fans for cooling and things.
Yep.
You know, so it's kind of a really cool concept. And the community is huge into
I just waved a person who joined on.
Yeah.
There's people are joining on.
Yeah. It's really interesting to see this. And also, they have a marketplace now where you can actually sell old modules and things
for
Framework laptops. So if you don't want to buy brand new,
like an eBay swap. Used.
Yeah.
Or it's kind of like a
Facebook marketplace, but for Framework stuff.
Yeah. That's
and
pretty sweet.
And like, even like custom stuff, they're allowing people to sell like custom
built
Framework stuff. Yeah.
Which is terrifying in some respects.
It is.
Yeah. Because think Facebook marketplace
and
think crafts and custom.
Yeah,
it could be terrifying.
It could be terrifying, but sometimes Framework will even put it into their own stuff. So maybe you can wait a little bit for Framework to pull up on that. But
so we're coming up on 8 o'clock, but we did get started a little bit late. So you want to go a little bit longer?
Yeah, we go a little bit longer.
Do another story too, because I've got another story here.
You do your story.
Yep. So I'm going to try to pronounce this company because I love doing my science stories, but I hate trying to pronounce their names. Amogy, Amogy, Amogy.
Okay.
So I don't know how many of you know that, aside from regular, you know, hydrocarbons, which we burn, ammonia is combustible, and in certain instances, very combustible, but for conventional, it takes a lot of ability to make it combust. It takes a lot to make it. It's a slow combustor, but there's a company and it's Amogy, I think, green ammonia. That they've already rolled out ammonia-filled fueled tractors, which makes sense because farms always have ammonia for fertilizer. Ammonia-filled tractors and an ammonia-filled or fueled semi-truck. They're a Brooklyn company, so it's U.S., Brooklyn company, and they're now working on a 1957 tugboat to make it the first ammonia-powered ship. Now, at first I thought, okay, this is company kind of getting started. Then I started looking. Maersk and all those big, big shipping container companies are all trying to switch to ammonia by 2050.
Oh, okay.
So it's not just a little thing. It is a big thing. So it's almost like a two-cycle engine, too. So you and I know two-cycle engines in and out. It works like a two-cycle engine.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of fascinating. But with ammonia, while ammonia is corrosive in some instances and toxic, they're finding ways to make it less so in many ways. Because ammonia is still an organic compound.
Yeah.
When brass tacks, it's still an organic compound. And so when it's consumed, it produces water and nitrogen and stuff that we just goes right back into the air. So technically a green company. And to produce it, it's easily produced under green conditions. So theoretically, all of those giant shipping fleets would be powered by tanks full of ammonia that they could be making on their route from seawater. Because there's actually a lot of ammonia potential in seawater. And I mean, our air is actually less oxygen and more nitrogen than it is. It's more nitrogen than oxygen. Yeah. That's what air is. You know, that's why when you dive, the bends, that's nitrogen escaping from your the air in your blood and building up and causing grief. So it's kind of fascinating to follow this whole thing with ammonia. Mm-hmm. So it may not be gasoline, it may not be solar, it may not be battery, it may be I can't think of an ammonia cleanser. They're escaping me right now, but like, you know, your bottle of ammonia cleanser. Good. All right. We'll go with the basic. I'll call it out. All of my Greek friends, Windex. Windex, my friends. You could power your car on Windex.
Oh, my.
Shout out to some of my Greek friends, because I did learn that that mention in my big fat Greek wedding with the Windex, that is a thing.
Yeah.
That is a thing.
Yeah, I'm still a little skeptical on electric currently.
Yeah, currently.
Yeah, currently.
Well, there was a great debate in my house. If I had an electric car and my power's out for 4 or 5 days.
Yeah. How are you getting anywhere?
Yeah, I know. Because I have two generators. Both of them had mechanical issues. Mm-hmm. I got one fixed for one power outage. It died. I got the other one fixed for the other power outage. So technically I have one still running, knock on wood. The other one I've got to get, I need some help getting repaired. I need a friend who does small engines. Mm-hmm. That's going to help me out with that.
Yeah, but you know, it's just the range of batteries and, you know, going with laptops and phones. And you know, battery degradation is not great at all.
No.
And
temperature, you know, exactly. I mean, leave your laptop in the car.
I mean, Tesla has kind of worked on the whole, like, oh, here's how much battery you don't have.
Yeah. Because
it's cold or it's hot or, it's, you know, something like that. Another thing is heat with electric
heat is
charge.
Bad. Heat is bad. Heat is really bad. Yeah, there's that whole boom thing.
Yeah
we're not a big fan of the boom thing. Yeah, not a fan of the boom thing.
That's like the only thing I don't like about batteries.
Yeah, being a fan of Top Gear and watching
of hydrogen either. But, you know.
Well, hydrogen is a great boom. That's Hindenburg. That's Hindenburg boom.
But there's hydrogen cars now.
Yeah,
because
Toyota
is using it as a way.
I pass a natural gas fueling station.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of
for the longest time a CNG because there's UPS, FedEx, our local bus, Lakeran, Schwann. I think I said that right. The Schwann, the food delivery place.
Okay. Yeah,
so it looks like Schwann, but it's the Schwann.
Yeah.
Is natural gas. All those places are near this one CNG station. Just recently, I would say in the last month. It went from $1.99 to $2.10.
Oh wow!
$2.10 is still what they're running.
Yeah.
I know. I think it might be liters. I can't remember. I've never gotten close to it. Yeah. So tell me about this one because you and I have loved this one so far.
So there was this really big operation.
Really big sting.
Well, yeah, really big sting operation done through the internet called Operation Cookie Monster.
Yeah, gotta love it.
I almost said Project Cookie Monster, but no, Operation Cookie Monster. So essentially, the website that they seized was a personal information site that sold account information for, some websites that got hacked in the past.
Yeah, basically a reseller of people's personal information, things like that. Yeah,
and so a coalition of the FBI and a bunch of like
Europol,
Canada and everywhere else.
I see Canada. I see Poland. Mm-hmm.
European Union.
Well, that's Europol. Polisky. Basically all the big name players in Europe. America, North America, and Eastern Europe, which is usually where a lot of the bad stuff happens.
Yeah, so
no offense to Eastern Europe. I'm not knocking Eastern Europe, but it just happens to be a hotbed of this black market stuff.
They took action and they took down one of the bigger sites or one of the bigger sites. And they even have a website now that says ihavebeenpwned.com.
That's ironic.
I know.
That's ironic. So you go on there and see how
you go in there,
how your
you
accounts
type in because it asks you for the type in your phone number and or email, and it will actually tell you what sites that your information has been stolen off of, which is kind of fun. I kind of find it interesting.
Yeah. So, hey, friends that are watching, it has been, the URL is have been pwned.com. It may be worth going in there, dropping in
just occasionally checking
your cell phone, your email addresses, things like that, just to see where your data happens to be. Who has used it? Who has spoofed? Mm-hmm. I mean, you and I both have email addresses that have been spoofed in our lifetime.
Oh, yeah.
You know, to pretend to be someone else and things like that. I mean, if you're online, that happens. It's just a given. I look up my phone periodically and stuff like that. I usually do a data search on myself once a year. I mean, I've had identity theft happen to me as an IT person. Not by my own fault, by the way. the state of Ohio had an oops. And my information got out because of a state agency. Ooh. Not a fault of my own.
No, that's
which actually
fun.
Most people, it's not your fault. It's somebody else's fault. You dropped the ball. Who should be doing better?
One of the things on my list was Twitter, because Twitter got hacked, you know, that long time
ago. Oh, yeah, yeah. I had an account on
Twitter that got information stolen. So that was like one of them. And then there was a few, like, you know, like your game places.
My Adobe stuff. Because I, of course, we used Adobe for eBooks here, but also I used Adobe because I had Creative Cloud and things like that. Yeah, my Adobe information got out, Twitter. Most of my identity theft actually happened because of a breach at this somewhere in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Ohio employee records.
Small companies.
Mine
was like small company stuff.
Yeah.
So that would be a site to check and just see. You know, maybe if your information got out or not, because it will tell you you have not been.
Yeah.
Or you have.
Yeah, because there's companies you can pay for this, and you don't really have to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not a proponent of those entities you can pay for that then try to lock down your personal information, because in all honesty, it's all stuff you can do yourself with a little bit of time and effort. You can check your credit history. You can lock down your bank accounts. You can use temporary. Credit card numbers. Most banks now can issue you a temporary credit card number that you use for an online purchase that only really will live for that online purchase. So it's almost like using a gift card based on your own checking or debit account. There's so much you can do on your own that, it's a little funny. There's companies that are like, $30 a month, we do this. And they really don't do much for $30 a month. In a reality, they do stuff that you can do on your own. So I think maybe one more story and then, let's see, what do I want to do? What do I want to do? Yes, I still use paper. You know what? I think what I'll do, I will do the University of Manchester. So, our friends at the University of Manchester have developed a building material specifically for Mars. And if you have read, as a good library person, The Martian, or watched the movie as a good video person, it is made with potato starch, some salt, and dirt from Mars. But here's the fascinating thing. It's actually twice as strong as traditional concrete.
Okay.
So potato starch, salt, which together makes lovely dipping sauce, and some Martian dirt, which Martian dirt is, we can simulate here because there's places on Earth that actually have similar concretions and stuff. So yeah, University of Manchester, and it's stronger than concrete because we're still trying to re-engineer Roman concrete. Which they found part of the reason that it's so strong is actually it's self-healing. And it's self-healing because they use salt water, seawater, and the minerals and stuff when it gets wet. So if there's a crack and it gets wet, it reactivates itself and makes fresh, sticky concrete. Beautiful concept. So the Romans were well ahead. But yeah, Martian concrete. I don't know why we're not building things on a Martian concrete on Earth right now. Being the good Irish person I am, we can use potatoes for awesome things. So let's build some concrete with potatoes. So I think I'm going to go out with that story. I'm going to go out with potatoes. That's the good Irish boy that I am. So thank you all for watching. We appreciate you every time you tune in. We appreciate always when you ask us questions. Even feel free to remember to ask us questions after the fact. Hey, there's a holiday weekend coming up. I want you guys to have a wonderful, safe, and fun holiday. And look forward to seeing you next month. Don't forget, this also becomes a podcast. You can listen to it later on all of your favorite podcast locations. At the bottom, we have the scroll that tells you where you can find us online. Hey, follow us on all of our social media, whichever one you use. You'll find a lot of useful things, what's going on at the library, tidbits of information. Charlie's great videos on some of the equipment we have here. I've been doing a series of videos on some of the things you can borrow from here. So again, thank you. Have a wonderful day.
Yes, thank you. Have a good one.
All right. End the stream.